Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
All right, take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms. Psalms 146. Psalm 146. Once you find your place, say amen. I'll wait just a second on you. Psalm 146. There's 150 Psalms. Psalm 146 to Psalm 150. We're called the Hallelujah Psalms. Say Hallelujah with me, would you?
Hallelujah.
One more time. Say Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The word I'm on now. Yeah, I mashed it one too many times. Psalm 146 through 150, briefly look at this in your Bible. Each one of them begins with the phrase, "Praise ye the Lord." The kids used to sing that, "Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord." Will you try it with me? Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Little competition now. Ladies, you take the first, praise ye the Lord. Guys, you take the hallelujah part. Ready, ladies? Pray. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 146 through 150. These are called the Hallelujah Psalms. David wrote most of the Psalms, not all of them, but he wrote these. David is now in the twilight of his life. David has been through the valley of suffering. David has been on the mountaintops of victory. But I want you to imagine, as we read Psalm 146, the 10 verses here, I want you to imagine this aged man that has, as the Bible said, David was a man after God's own heart. I want you to imagine this aged man of God as he is praising the Lord. I believe if you could visualize that, I believe, as Susan said earlier, we ought to be able to thank God for something every day in which we live. But I imagine, as David is writing these psalms, I would almost imagine that he's got his hands lifted up and he's saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. David, you had the death of your son. Praise the Lord. David, you had people to turn against you. Praise the Lord. David, you had great victories on the battlefield. Praise the Lord. David, you've been down in the valley of temptation and sin. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to think about, as we read this together, notice Psalm 146. I don't know what, you know, what your Bible, mine says at the top here, trust in the Lord. That's the theme of, and by the way, I'm preaching on this subject, in God we trust. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princesses, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth, in that every day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all therein, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseneth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widows. The way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. And everybody, say it with me, praise ye the Lord. I want you to notice in these verses this morning that we've read, the theme of this is trusting in God. And so I want to preach to you a little bit this morning on that thought. In God, we still trust. There is a group of atheists, and if you go on their website, they have dedicated their lives to trying to stop any reference to God in our land and in our public arenas. They are called the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They have filed numerous lawsuits. You can go on their website if you're bored and don't have anything to do. And they want to outlaw any kind of reference to God, to prayer, to Bible reading, and anything that has to do with God in our country. They've got a lawsuit right now against Arkansas to remove a statue of the Ten Commandments. There's a whole string of these. They've got a lawsuit against West Virginia. In West Virginia, they've been teaching Bible classes in the public schools for 75 years. And now the Freedom From Religion Foundation has filed a lawsuit. And at the present time, West Virginia has stopped having to teach any of the Bible classes. They have done so for 75 years, and now this Freedom Religion Foundation has made them stop. In Parkersburg, West Virginia, they have filed a lawsuit against the city council to stop prayer at a city council meeting. They have filed a lawsuit in Utah against the middle school that has required their students to stand and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. They've got a lawsuit against that school in Utah. But the one that really takes the cake for me was filed in February of 2013. When the Freedom From Religious Foundation filed a lawsuit against the Treasury Department of the United States. And they say that every coin that's in that bucket over there is a violation of separation of church and state, because every coin has on there, "In God we trust." That lawsuit is still pending. They haven't reached an agreement yet. So every coin that you have in your pocket, every coin in that bucket right there, is a violation, according to them, of our separation of church and state. Let me just go on record and say this as a former history teacher. The phrase "separation of church and state" was not and not found in our Constitution. It was a phrase that was given either by Alexander Hamilton or Thomas Jefferson. I can't remember which one of the two said it. But here's what they said, Brother Steve, is the fact the separation of church and state has to do with that the state has no right to infer anything onto the church, but they never intended for the church never to have a voice in government. Because if you study our Constitution and our laws of our land, and you study the founding fathers, they were Bible-believing people. The Mayflower Compact was founded as those pilgrims came and set foot on this new soil. They said, "We're coming here by the divine protection of Almighty God." And our country was founded on godly principles. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now my question is this. If you cannot trust in God, who can you trust in? Notice some things the psalmist said here in these verses that we read. The psalmist said, "I don't have anybody else to put my trust in." He said, look in those verses. He said, "I don't," in verse 4, "put not your trust in princesses." That's the government. Would y'all say amen? You cannot trust the government? Talk to the American Indian today if you think you can trust the government. Amen. They've been lied to, robbed from, pushed out yonder on a reservation, and you cannot trust the government. He said you cannot trust, notice he said, and you cannot trust the Son of Man, talking about mankind. How many of you with a raised hand would say, "Preacher, I have been lied to before"? Raise your hand. Everybody ought to raise your hand. People today will look at you straight in the eye and they will give you a bold-faced lie and never flinch about it. You cannot trust people. And if you can't trust the government, and you can't trust people, my friend, who can you trust? I'm going to tell you, the only one you can trust is right here. David said, "I will trust in the Lord thy God of heaven." I want to give you five reasons why this morning we ought to trust God. Number one, all found in Psalm 146. Look in verse 3. "I still trust God because He is my helper." Look in verse 3. "Put not your trust in princesses, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. He is my helper because He knows my weakness and He knows my need." When Jesus told His disciples to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, "For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is mighty weak." Can anybody say amen right there? The flesh will let you down. The flesh, my friend, is sown in corruption. It'll be raised in incorruption. But as long as we are here on this earth, as long as we are living down here, this, my friend, is nothing more than rottening flesh, and it is corruptible. Can I tell you something? Put not your faith and trust in any man, preacher, pope, or priest. Amen. The news media is having a heyday. All these allegations coming out. And by the way, it's not just the Catholics. But we're seeing preachers across our country falling. People get discouraged. And people look at men and they put people on a pedestal. And they look at somebody. Now listen, I believe you ought to respect the man of God. Come on, talk to me, church. I believe you ought to respect every man of God. But I know this, over the years, I've got in my library books by men that I thought were great men of God, written books, pastored big churches, and now, my friend, their ministries in shambles because of the weakness of the flesh. The flesh will let you down. Don't trust this flesh. Don't put yourself in a place to where the flesh is going to succumb to the spirit. Susan said a while ago, and I amen. I'm just letting her preach amen. But you know something, unless you feed on this, unless you feed right here on this, the flesh is going to get weak, it's going to get stronger, and the spirit's going to get weaker, and when you're tempted, you're going to fall. Honey, I got news for you. Don't put any confidence in the flesh. God is my helper, not man, not the government. By the way, hey, listen, if you're trusting Social Security, I got another news for you. Don't trust the government. Notice, he's my strength when I have no strength. He's my shield when the enemy attacks. He is the captain of my salvation. He'll fight every battle there is to fight. He had lost one, and he ain't about to start. Now listen, y'all wasn't here last week, so I got to have a double amen today. I got to have some help. Are y'all with me? The psalmist said in 124 verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord which made heaven and earth. Number two, I still trust God today because he is my hope. Hosea 2:15 said, there is a door of hope that is open. Thank God that we have a hope that is steadfast and sure. As we sang this morning, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Everything else is sinking sand. It's on Jesus and he alone that I have my hope today. It's sad when people have lost hope. My wife and I had to, like I said, we had to go down and we rolled a little bit just to see some of the devastation, some of the right down from where our little camper is, right down the street, you turn to the right, those people are on the intercoastal waterway. Nice, big houses. But as we rolled down through there, everything they had in those houses was on the street, furniture, tools, equipment, carpet, all ripped up because all of those beautiful big houses were underwater. I seen boats. I seen two huge sailboats, Brother Steve. I'm talking about not no little bitty dinghies. I'm talking about big old sailboats over in Beaufort that the water had pushed up on the bank and they're laying over on their side. Down through Newbern at the Trent River, there was a gang of boats that you looked like you just taken and pushed them together and throwed them up on the land. My friend, folks down that way, they've lost hope. Why? Because the things that they've worked for, the things they've labored for, the money that they've invested, now a lot of them, it's gone. You say, what about insurance? A lot of them, you can't get insurance. Talked to a neighbor down there, and he had some damage to his. Now, thank God I've got some insurance on mine. I call my agent up, and I said, glory to God, hallelujah. But a friend of mine, he's right next door to me. I said, what about your insurance? He said, I don't have any. Don't have any. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. When you lose hope, it is a desperate situation. When people go to the doctor and they say, I've got some bad news for you. And since you've been in this situation, you had hope. You had the courage to keep plugging on when the doctors told you, and when you had to learn how to maneuver again and how to walk and talk and feed and everything when that affected your brain. Listen, my friend, but she had hope in the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you something, friend. When you have no hope, you're a miserable person. Acts 27. Don't turn there. Acts 27. Paul was in a storm. He was in a hurricane, by the way. Her name was Euroclydon. Read Acts 27. Isn't it amazing? They used to name all them hurricanes after women. Glory to God. I saw the other day, somebody said that hurricane, brother, they said that hurricane Florence, they said it had stalled out over North Carolina, and it was just sitting there spinning. They said, well, what do you expect when you name a hurricane after an old woman? She's going to sit there and just spin. She ain't going to move along very fast. Amen. Acts 27, Euroclidon. Paul was in the middle of a hurricane. The ship was being tossed to and fro. It was being battered. The sailors, experienced seamen, they didn't know what to do. They were trying to pull the ropes and hoist the tackling. They were trying to secure it. And old Paul, you couldn't find him. He wasn't nowhere to be found. But he was down in that ship. He was a-praying, and he was getting hold of God. And all of a sudden, he comes popping up, and he said, fellows, be of good cheer. I've just heard from God, and everything's going to be all right. This old ship, she's going to get battered and tossed, and it's going to get broken, but there won't be any loss of lives. He said, lift up your heads, rejoice, because I serve a God of heaven. And friend, when the troubles get many, and the problems get many, and the heartaches get many, you can trust God. He's my helper. He's my door of hope. Third of all, notice the third thing the psalmist said. Look in verse number 6. I still trust in God because, watch, look in verse 6. He's the keeper or the creator of heaven and earth. We took Ava Lee this summer. They had a dinosaur exhibit. You know, these kids always love these dinosaurs. We took her to a dinosaur exhibit. What they call it, animatronics, where they move and everything. And there was T-Rex, and there was these raptors, and they was moving, making sounds. I mean, it was cool. And they got them signs on there, you know. This one lived so many billions of years ago. This one lived so many thousands of years ago. And then they had one of James Parrish and had it on there, extinct. Anyhow, I had to throw that in. Anyhow, the scientists today would want you to believe that all these creatures lived millions and billions of years ago, and that all of a sudden, there was just this cosmetic boom. There was this Big Bang Theory. And all of a sudden, everything got thrown into right orbit. And all of a sudden, the Earth is here. And the moon spins around it. And we go around the sun. And everything is just hunky-dory. And it just all happened. Hogwash. Look what David said. Old David. Been out there with the sheep, and he'd gaze in the heavens at night, and he'd see the stars. And notice what David said in verse number 6, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in, which keepeth truth forever. Brother Keith opened up Sunday school this morning and was reading Genesis chapter 2. Now, I want to tell y'all something. We think about them people way back yonder, we think that they didn't have a lick of sense. But I want to tell you something. When God brought all them animals to Adam, son, I can't spell some of them names. And he said, that's a crocodile. That's a rhinoceros. That's a hippopotamus. How in the world did they, wasn't signs on them? Think about it. Oh, Adam, he's a pretty smart fellow, wasn't he? Be able to name all them critters, name all them creatures. That's a dragonfly, and that's a horsefly, and that's a housefly. Son, have you ever thought about that? You say, who gave him that knowledge? God did. But I watch something here. Look in that verse, verse number 6. And David said, who made the heavens and the earth and the stars and the planets? We was with Brother Tom Robinson here recently up in Luray, Virginia. Brother Tom lives back in the hills. You can't get cell phone service where he's at. And he's right there at a mountain. And y'all know, if y'all live in the city, God help you. Y'all need to move to the country. Say amen right there. I'll tell you why. When you're in the city, you look up and all you see is the city lights. You don't see no stars. You get out in the country and you look up and you can see the stars in the nighttime. But now, Brother Tom, he's fascinated. We were looking on his computer about the Hubble telescope. Now, I'm not as well versed, but let me just say this. The Hubble telescope, they have found these other galaxies that are millions of light years away. And we look like a speck compared to all these other galaxies. You know what I'm talking about? Guess who made them? God. But then we want to step further. He's got this night vision scope on his rifle. I mean, son, it's one of them high dollar ones. It's a military grade. My wife always, every time we go up there, she wants to look at the stars. And so we walked out, and it was a clear night. We looked up, and you could see the stars. You thought you could see the stars. But you take that night vision scope, you throw it up there, son, I'm going to tell you what, you can read the numbers on a mailbox a mile down the road. But when you look up at the heavens, it pulls the light in, and all of a sudden, the heavens, it looks like you took a black piece of cloth and punched holes all in it, and you see the stars up yonder. Now, think about this for a second. Our earth is 93 million miles from the sun. If we was any closer, Brother Rodney, we would burn up. If he was any further away, we would freeze. But right at 93 million miles. And then our earth is tilted on a 23-degree axis. That creates our seasons. Aren't y'all loving this 70-degree weather today? Fall of the year. I can taste the pumpkin spice lattes right now. And our earth revolves around this big old thing called the sun, which is just a little bitty old star. Now, let me go one step further. Say amen to this. How many of you believe that God created all the stars? God created all the planets. Jupiter, Mars, Venus, and Neptune, and all them places. He created everything on this earth. The seas. The mountains. He's the ruler of everything. Now let me ask you one other question then. If God can do all that, don't you think He can handle your little problem? Hey man, if God created all this thing and all this world and kept it flying in the right amount of orbit, don't you think He can handle your problem today? David out yonder, he's looking up to God. And he's going, praise ye the Lord. God, you made all them stars. God, you made all them planets. God, you made everything there is to make. Lord, my little old problem seems very insignificant with everything you're doing. Number 4, look in verse number 7. Are y'all enjoying this? I don't know about y'all, but I am. Verse 7. I'm still trusting in the Lord because He can, I like this one, He can satisfy the hungry and He can set the captive free. Anybody getting hungry? It's just a little after 12. Fast and pray. Amen. Look at verse 7. Which executed judgment for the oppressed, which giveth, read this with me, who giveth what? Food to the what? And the Lord does what? Man, by nature, craves the things of this world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world,
He's not talking about the grass. He's not talking about the trees. He's not talking about the mountains. He said, love not the world, the things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And listen to this part. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Things this world will never, listen to me now, the things of this world will never satisfy the longing in a man's heart. You can try everything under the sun. You can try drugs. You can try alcohol. You can drink yourself drunk with Jim Beam. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. The love of this world, the things of this world, it's never going to satisfy. God made you with a longing to fellowship with Him. And the only thing that will ever satisfy the longing of your heart is a relationship with God. Notice what he said. He gives food to the hungry. I like what Jesus said in John 6:35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can make a change in a man's life. You can try AA, you can try a 12-step program, you can try turning over a new leaf, you can try to reform, and friend, you'll go right back to the same mess. Why? Because you need the transforming power of the God of heaven to change you from the inside out. But He is the only one. But He will provide for the hungry. He will sustain those that call on His name. And notice what this verse says. He's the only one that can set the prisoner free. Hallelujah to that. Amen. I've been with these ladies down in the jail. We wasn't prisoners. Amen. I've been with them down in the jail. Last Sunday, we didn't have church down this way because of the weather, but they asked me to come down to Roxburgh and preach, so I went down to Brother Mike's church. And every Sunday, Brother Mike Witt goes down to the prison camp and gets three prisoners. Every Sunday brings them. Now, they wouldn't let him go last Sunday because of the weather. One of those guys just got out, and now he's living up towards Ashboro. But anyhow, here's my point. Many of those men where you ladies go and Bobby goes, they would give their almost right arm to sit where you're sitting. They would like to be free. They would come and they would. By the way, I enjoy every time I went. Praise God. You talking about a service. Boy, them men, they get with it. That's church. I mean, they start praising God and singing. And man, it's easy to preach. It's like Brother David Epps said that he tried pastoring and gave it up. He went to jail. Amen. I remember he preached here one time. He said, bless God, it's one of them boys tried to get up and walk out. The big old guard hit him over the head with a stick. He said, I thought about trying to get two deacons to do that in church. But anyway. But only Jesus can set the captive free. You say, I'm not in jail. You are if you're bound in sin. I'm not locked up. You are if you're bound in sin. Whatever you got, listen, honey, listen to me. I don't care whatever is plaguing you and dragging you down and the things that you want to get free from and they drag you right back down and you try to get free yourself and you try to change yourself and you try to do better yourself. It takes God to deliver the prisoner today. Last of all, here's the best one. Now, I might lose some of you on this, but some of you is going to get this. Look in verse number 8. I still believe in God because He is my healer. Look what it said. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind.
The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteousness. Why? Y'all still got your Bible open? Turn back to Psalm 103 just a second. Just a few pages back. It depends on what kind of Bible you got there. Psalm 103. I want you to stay with me now. If you haven't paid attention, them cafeterias, they'll be still open. You'll get the late special. They'll put the hot food out there on the bar. Amen. Come on now, talk to me, church. Y'all go about 2:00. You'll get the hot stuff because everything else will be gone. All right. Psalm 103, verse number 1. Are y'all with me, church? Read it with me if you're here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefit. Now here's verse number 3. Everybody, read it with me. Who forgiveth all thine iniquity, and who healeth thee thy diseases? Stop right there. Why is it? And this is where I'm going to lose somebody. Why is it we can believe the first part of verse number 3, but we can't believe the second part of verse number 3? Ah, preacher, well, you know, I believe the Bible. Well, isn't that what the Bible says? Talk to me, church. Let me come down here.
Now watch it. I'm not trying to tell you something that's not in the... If you think this is not Bible, then you see me right after, and then I'll pray with you for you being wrong. Amen. Anyhow. Verse 3. How many of you would say, verse number 3, who forgiveth all thine? And aren't you glad that God forgives you of all your iniquities? He said, I blot them out. They're behind my back. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. I'm getting hot. Sorry. We're going to get down to, you know, I start rolling up my sleeves. We're really going to get down to business. Now watch it. Why is it we can believe part of that verse and we have problem believing the other part of the verse? Write this down or either turn with me. Exodus 15:26. One I do want you to turn to, just be fine. Isaiah 53 in just a second. We're gonna come down in just a minute. Don't worry, it's not going to be like the monkey got his tail caught in the fan. It won't be as long now as it has been, so just hang on. We'll be finished here in just a minute, all right? Y'all get that in a minute. Amen? Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26 says this, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's awful weak. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Miss Brenda, you believe that verse? How many of you in here believe that verse? Raise your hand. I feel sorry for you if you don't believe that verse. You say, preacher, I got a great doctor. Thank God for good doctors. You say, I'm on some good medication. Thank God for good medication. But I don't care if it's a cut on your finger or if it's cancer. It's God that heals the body. You can take good vitamin supplements. You can eat organic food. You can go to the best physician there is. But it is God that heals the body. Amen? All right, and here's what I want you to see. Isaiah 53, verse number 4. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, if you're following me along. Isaiah 53, and we're going to be done in just a second. Hang with me, please. This is going to separate the men from the boys. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is a prophecy in the Old Testament about the crucifixion of Jesus. How many of you, stay with me, church, how many of you believe Jesus died on the cross?
How many of you believe he shed his blood? How many of you believe that there is forgiveness, atonement in the blood of Jesus? Verse 4. For this saith, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And church, read this next part with me. And what? With his stripes we are healed. Look in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Now, I am not a Hebrew scholar, so I have to rely on somebody else. Old Testament, primarily written in Hebrew, some Aramaic in the book of Daniel. New Testament, written in Greek. The word here in verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs. You ought to circle that, write it somewhere in your Bible. That Hebrew word is sicknesses. And carried our sorrows. Hebrew word, pains. Here's how it read in Hebrew. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses and he has carried our pains. And in verse number 5, he has healed us of all of that. I need some help right now, folks. Yeah, preacher, you're getting off. My friend, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I believe this. If you can believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid our sin debt, past, present, and future, you ought to be able to believe that he has borne, listen, whoo, when he died on the cross, he carried our hell, every pain, every heartache, every burden, every immorality, every adultery, every lust he bore in his body on the tree, including our sicknesses. I believe when Jesus died on the cross, hear me out, he bore the cancer. He bore the sicknesses. He bore all those ailments that would destroy us. And by the way, I've said this before, I'll say it again, but a loving father would not intentionally hurt or harm his children. You, Brother Rodney, you, if you had the power, you would not put on your son cancer, would you? No. You would not. Sister Joanne, if you had the power, you would not want to afflict your son with some kind of dreaded disease. Then why do we think that it is God that's doing that? Friend, I want to tell you, the enemy who hates your body and hates because you're made in the image of God. I believe the enemy, the arch deceiver, the adversary, the one in which we are war against, he hates the way we are made and he wants to destroy. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I said there was 5 or 6, so hang on. One last thing. The psalmist said, here we go. He opens the blinded eyes. He raises the crooked backs. And I can tell you this morning, he's the one that cures of cancer. He's the one that cures of heart trouble. He's the one that cures of a stroke, a brain injury, or anything else. Why? Because he's already bore it in his body on the tree. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's already paid for it. I couldn't pay for it. He did it for me. He took all that on him and laid it on him. He bore my sickness, my pain, my suffering, my sorrow. What do I have to do? I have to, by faith, just the same way I get saved, by faith I accept it, by faith I receive it, by faith I believe it, and you'll be healed by faith. Say amen right there. Last of all, and I'm done, we'll go eat a sandwich. Look in verse 10. I still trust God
Because guess what? He's going to reign forever. Look in verse 10. The psalmist said, "The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, and all generations." And he ends with this. He started with it and he ended with it. Praise you, Lord. There's coming a day. Woo! There's coming a day. He's going to sit on the throne of David. He's going to reign in Jerusalem. One of these days, the devil is going to be chained and bound and cast in the bottomless pit. One of these days, there's going to be peace over all this world. One of these days, he's going to reign in righteousness. Hallelujah! I'm going to be here for that. I still praise him. There's coming a day. Joanne, Bonnie, come on to the piano there. I want y'all to play. There's coming a day. He's coming back one day. One day he's going to sit in Jerusalem. One day they're going to beat their swords into plowshares. One day there's going to be peace. What are you trusting in this morning? You're trusting in something. Y'all just start playing. There's coming today. What? Some of you trusting in your 401k. Some of you trusting in your health. You're trusting in your good job. You're trusting in things of this world that's going to disappoint you. The only thing you can trust in, there's a God in heaven. Let's stand our feet.